know that you have indeed spoken to us. This morning, may the words in my mouth, meditations in our hearts, thoughts in our minds be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This is a really potent word that God has put on my heart this morning. It's one of those where it challenges me, and I'm sure it will touch you at a very core place where you don't want to go very often. You don't want to talk about these things too often with the wrong people because you don't understand. I'm talking about stuff that isn't casual conversation. This is at the core of who we are, at what we really believe about ourselves and about our God, about this world and about life. There are people in our society who are people who go after the rat race, trying to acquire and become something and accumulate something, that they might have something. But the scriptures tell us that one day all that stuff's going to be gone. And if you spent your whole life accumulating stuff, riches, land, friends, whatever, it says one day they'll be gone. But it says three things are going to stay with you. Faith, hope, and love. When everything else is gone, they are still present. Now you say, well, I know that. I'm a Christian. God is love. He's always with us. Some people don't believe that. I heard a story about an atheist who was in his casket at a funeral. Of course, they didn't have a sermon or hymns. They just had people talk about his life. And then a Christian happened to be there, walked by the casket on the viewing and said, oh, he was an atheist. What a shame. All dressed up and no place to go. Isn't that a shame? Sometimes we're dressed up and we're going nowhere. I'm going to tell you this week that people have been talking to me at work and outside of work about some majorly painful issues they're dealing with. I'm talking traumatic stuff. A beautiful lady from here in Alabama said when she was a couple years younger, she lost her child at a month old and tore up by it. Where was God? She said the other day she was holding a baby and she broke down and cried and said, this baby is three, the same name my son was, and I am in peace. And she says, where was God? Why did he take my baby? Some people have experienced that. But if you haven't lost a child, you don't know the pain she's talking about. But if you have, you do. Now let me share this with you. So I said to her, why don't you ask God if you think he took your child? But the better question is, where is God when that happens? She says, I've lost faith. I've lost hope because he's dead. I've lost the ability to love anymore. And I said to her, that's not true because faith, hope, and love are always present even when life throws your heart in. Think about that a second. Each one of us in here has known some sort of pain. And to reconcile that God loves us in that pain, when it seems God was distant, when in fact he was there. I told my friend, I said, you're still here. That's proof that God cares about you. It's proof that God can reconcile this to you, that he can take that pain and turn it into something positive for your life. He can take that and show you his healing mercy and comfort of his spirit, which you would not have known. Now, I'm not saying let's all have pain so God can make us feel better. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you have to learn that God's love is constant, even when it hurts. In Hebrews 11, we find that faith, one of the three things that remain, is the evidence, right? The evidence of things not seen. Let me tell you, if you don't believe God's love is with you at all times, you're not going to have a lot of faith that something that you can't see is going to happen. And you're not going to have a lot of hope. I was talking with a young lady whose life is torn apart and she doesn't see hope anymore. And I said, I got to tell you, you don't see it, but it's there. And she says, how do you know? And I said, because it remains, according to the Word of God. It's always there, but we refuse to acknowledge it because then we have to acknowledge that we hurt. If we get down to the core issue that we hurt sometimes and God allows that, we have to reconcile what kind of God does that. It's either belief that we don't matter or God doesn't exist. That's what most people come down to. I don't matter to God or else God doesn't exist, and they prefer to say God doesn't exist when I hurt. Where do you go when it hurts? Who do you turn to when it seems like God isn't there? I promise you, he's never, ever left, even in trauma. Never. Well, how do you know? I'll tell you the simple answer, because he says in the Word of God, he doesn't leave us. And he never forsakes us. And he never leaves us comfortless. But the thing is, what we do is we begin to blame our source of comfort rather than embracing our comfort. Because if we embrace God in that moment and say, thank you that you love me, God. Thank you that you care. Thank you that you allowed my son to be with me for a month. Thank you for this. We have to come to the terms that maybe we don't understand. Maybe we don't understand why God allows this. If we understood and found a reason, it might make sense. But God sometimes is silent. Don't ever question the light of God and what you've seen in his light when you get to the darkness. It's still there. What's that great hymn by Isaac Watts? My hope is built. It says, my anchor holds within the veil. It says, when darkness hides his lovely face and all around me, right? My anchor holds within the veil. Sometimes we need to know that hope exists. What do you tell a parent who's lost a child? Especially if you haven't. Oh, it's okay, God's with you. It doesn't work. What we say is, if we have had that happen, we say, I know how you feel. It's survivable if God is with you. And you know it. Right? Think about this for a second. And don't miss this. Jesus Christ is God's only begotten Son. He loves us. He gives himself for us perfectly, compassionately on Calvary. He died on Calvary. God's Son died. God experiences grief and the earth shakes and turns dark because the light of the world is gone from it for a while. But God sees that and he says, for a couple days, darkness has to be here. Because until you know that God can take tragedy and turn it around, you don't know the God that made life. God is an expert at turning tragedy to positive and strength. The hard thing, though, is we don't understand. And when we don't understand, we lose our way. I want to share with you something from today's events that have been going on for years, but more focused on in the last few years. If you examine this, the nation, if you will, or people of Islam that practice faith of the Quran, the Iraqis, Iranians, the Arabs, those kind of folks are Islamic. Now, they claim, get this, the same God that we have, but they call him Allah. But get this, their God does not require them to love and does not help them to love. Do you see what it looks like when you have a God without love? You have to destroy your enemies. You have to cut fingers off of people who steal. That's how they punish those people. You have lost a finger. You stole something once. Generally, people don't lose two fingers over there because they don't steal. But their nation, the Islamic nation, has a God. Their motto is, be kind to everybody. That's what they say it is, but they kill in the name of God. Now, I got to tell you that our God isn't like that. Our scripture says God is love. Compassion. When you begin to see people acting in hatred in the name of God, you know their God is not a God of love. It's not instilled love. And the hard part is understanding how that kind of God can be considered to be the same as the God of creation and the Father, if you will, of Jesus Christ. Because if they serve the same God, then he's got the same Son. But they don't claim Jesus is their God's Son, so it's not the same God. They say he's a prophet, by the way. Jesus was a prophet. Of course he was. But he was more than that. But that's all they give him credit for. But I share with you, if your God does not instill in you that love matters, that Christ came to this world and love took him to the cross, that love mattered that much that it was worth dying for, rather than stop loving, you die loving. You can't tell me that my friend from here in Alabama hasn't died a little bit from loving his son. He died. Sure, she died a little, but she's still loving. She's still living. And she's slowly beginning to see that love is still within her. That it wasn't an insignificant life. God didn't take her son. God received him when he died into his arms. I believe that. I think I haven't shared this with you all, but when I was a kid, I say a kid, I mean a little kid. I was 5. It was December 1969. At the time we were living in central Illinois, my dad was pastoring 2 churches, and 2 of my sisters, my mother and dad and myself, went to one of the country church, and decorated it for Christmas. Great season of the year, Christmas, Christ's birth, salvation come to us, Emmanuel. Well, on the way home, we decided to come back the gravel road way. because there's these big hills, and I don't know about you, but myself as a kid liked that little feeling when you go over a hill and you get that thing in your stomach. And my dad wanted us to have a nice pit of stomach experience on those gravelly hills. Unfortunately, on one of those gravelly hills, as we're coming down, our guy backed out. And the road was supposed to be two lanes, but it was about one and a half. And he backed out right into the left rear of our car. Shortly thereafter, my fifth oldest sister died. I was in the car, I was a witness. And for a long time, I couldn't reconcile how God could do that. And God challenged me at the core of my very being. He said, do you know that I'm so powerful I could have stopped it? I could have prevented that. And I said, well, why didn't you? And he said, you don't understand. My will is beyond anything you could ever think. That what I did in love. And I said, I don't understand how that could be done in love. And those are the questions we struggle with when we're angry, when we're bitter, when we're hostile towards God. How can that be love? And God says, because in your mind you don't understand. You can't fathom that. But he said, love was there. And since that time, I've learned to understand that through that experience, that her life has spoken volumes more than if she were alive. Bore more witness. Yeah, there's times when I think, I wonder what it would have been like. I wonder how close we would have been if I'd have had more nieces and nephews. I wonder. But I'm a substantially different person because of that. And I'm substantially different in very good ways. And our whole family is substantially different in very good ways because of a bad thing. It saved a family that was beginning to go downhill. It stopped them in their tracks and said, listen, you're going the wrong way. It changed my entire life. I wouldn't be standing in front of you today had that not happened. I'd have probably been running a music store somewhere or something like that. But I had no call of God on my life. But this tragedy made me come to God every single night and say, why? And I would not leave God alone. And I'm thankful because I needed him. And he was there. When you begin to understand that God is with you in your pain, he's not taking your pain, he's bearing it with you. Jesus Christ on the cross, get this, beautiful. He bears the sin of the world. He bears it. But guess what? We bear don't we? When the baby dies, we bear. God says you don't gotta do it alone. And that's what we say when we say, God, why? Because I'm alone. I want to believe in you, but I'm alone. I want to know you care, but right now I feel so alone that no one can touch my pain. That no one can show me love right now because I don't think there is such a thing. But again, Scripture comes back and says, love is there. And God is there. You want to cry out like some of the philosophers and say, how can I know you're there, God, when I'm so alone? It says sometimes that we are isolated and alone in a crowd. Some people get so alone because they can't connect anymore. Some people get so traumatized that they can't touch a life anymore because they feel alone. And if you think God doesn't care or that he takes things from you, you're not going to believe God is there. And you're going to be alone in your heart and in your mind. And guess what? It's at that point where God's word comes in and says, faith, hope. Remember that word hope? It gives us hope that things can get better. And faith that God can do it. The things we can't see now, and love is still there. But the thief wants to take that hope away. That maybe God doesn't know what he's doing. And maybe God's making mistakes. Maybe God doesn't understand. So I'm here to witness to you what I witnessed to my friend. That when you acknowledge that God's there in the tank, it is holding you up to survive. Sometimes barely. So that you would know God is with you in pain. That God's with you when it hurts. He's not taking something from you. He's there ushering in because he knows tragedy's gonna happen. There's not a person in here who hasn't experienced some pain. But God was there. We're looking for reasons to say God wasn't. But he was. Very much so. And the question that remains heavy on my heart that I want to place with you is this. Do you understand that God does not give us love? He doesn't give us hope in it. He doesn't give us faith. He gives us himself. You understand? He gives us himself. And he's with us present in that moment. Do you know that? That God cannot give love. He is love. And he has to give himself to you. So if you're going to ask God, where are you? He's going to say, I'm right with you. Where are you? Because we want to remove ourselves from the traumatic event. And God is saying, I'm right in the midst of them. Look at me. I'll help you. Folks, I'll tell you, sometimes reconciling this in your heart and in your life is very difficult. I understand that. But I want to share with you that Jesus Christ knows your hurts. And he's never forgotten you. He's never forsaken you. He will never. Scripture says he cannot forget you. He's made you in the palm of his hand. So I ask God, I said, God, why is it that my sister at age 10 is gone now? And you know what he said? Anybody know? He says she's with me. She's with me. She's not gone. She's with me. And do you understand that when you are with God, we're talking eternity here. And that's the good news that I share with my friend still struggling with her child's loss after 2 years. I said, he's not gone. He's with God. And you're trying to tell him, me, that God took him from? No. He protected him from death. The devil ruined his life. God received him in. And he wants to receive us in the same way. That he would provide us with his love, which is himself, every moment of our life. I don't know about you, but sometimes Scripture hits way too close to home. Willie Mae, no, you've lost sisters the last couple weeks. Scripture says that they remain with God. And your faith says that this is true. And the only way you know it's true is because you know God loves you. Catch this, and don't miss this. God loves you. He doesn't take things from you. He loves you. Love doesn't take. Love gives. That is the hard part to understand. Would you pray with me? God, sometimes we have trouble reconciling our thoughts and our feelings because evidence seems contrary, because we see certain things. But you tell us that your love convinces us, and who you are convinces us that what you say is true. And despite our logic and our thoughts, we still know that your word is true, that you love us, that you care. And every time we want to say something about you that isn't true, that says you don't care, you continually come back and say, I'm here. I've always been there. And Lord, the things in us that want to fight that, the question, the uncertainties, Lord, help us to resolve them now. Help us to find peace in you. That from this day forward, we'd never question again, but only come to you with open arms, even as you come to us. Amen. Before we close, what's our final? Okay, it's number 259, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. There's a psychological term for something I want to share with you. It's called acting out. If a child, for instance, doesn't get his attention he wants, as he gets older, he acts out. Right? Well, what happens is with us as adults is we still do that, but in a more subtle way. If we have some unresolved conflict or memories that are still bothering us, we act out on them. And God's here to say you can be free from all that. You can finally be free and see that God's mercy and grace is deeper. Scripture says the cross goes deeper than any loss, than any pain, that it bears the sin and the weight of the world. And sometimes we want to question that. And that's okay to question it, but always come back to Jesus and say, show me where you were. I can see you. Would you stand as we sing, What a Friend We Have?